Well, that's Christmas music. Amen. We hear a lot about Christmas music. Well, that's Christmas music. Amen. Now, some of this stuff, and as you turn to Matthew chapter 11, that's being played is, well, it's Christmas time music, and people have their different positions on that. I kind of like some Christmas time music. You say, well, I don't listen to it. Well, I'll try not to be around you during Christmas time. But I like some Christmas time music. But you know, I love Christmas music. Amen. There's nothing wrong, in my opinion, that is just my opinion, there's nothing wrong with some of that, some of it, not all of it. Some of that stuff's garbage. That's right. And quite frankly, I don't care if Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Somebody says, well, that's mean-spirited. Well, I don't know. I don't know that she ought to be in front of reindeer. But anyway, that has nothing to do with Christmas. And so the Christmas time music, there's some of it that, you know, it's all right. That's my opinion. But now Christmas music is what you've heard tonight. And let's not get the two mixed up. Christmas music is about Christ. Actually, the last song that the men sang is my favorite Christmas song. God rest ye merry gentlemen. And I requested for that song to be sang, and I'm thankful that the men worked on it. They didn't do it for me, I don't think. But if they did, thank you. I believe they did it for Jesus. But I enjoyed it as you did it for him. Matthew chapter number 11. I was going to bring a message tonight, a little different message, more of what might be known as a Christmas message. But, you know, in reality, the message I'm going to bring to you that God just laid on my heart, I couldn't get away from, is a Christmas message. I don't know that you could open this Bible and not preach a Christmas message if you preach Christ. And, well, every Bible preacher I know preaches Christ. Amen. So it's kind of hard not to preach a Christmas message if you stick to the theme of the Bible, which is Christ. So I'm going to ask you to turn back to Matthew chapter 11, and just to stretch your feet a little bit, or legs, I should say, stand on your feet, and that'll let you stretch a little bit. You've been sitting for a little while, and we'll ask you to stand, and I've got a thought or two that I want to bring to you. And so I don't know that I would preach a message. I don't know. In times like this, I'm going to leave this up to the Holy Spirit, and I'm certainly going to share some scripture with you, some things that God's laid on my heart. A couple of thoughts here. I want to zone in on a scripture, verse number 27 of Matthew 11. This morning, we were talking about 25 and 26 in particular, and I was going to preach chapter 11, verse 27 next Sunday morning, and I don't know, I just couldn't get away from it, so I'm going to bring you a few thoughts that I have. All right, let's look at it together. Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good, godly, Christ-honoring singing that we have enjoyed this evening. It's ministered to our souls. It's magnified the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would be glorified through the singing of the songs of the faith. Lord, I pray as we've opened your word, and there's been scripture reading, even the text tonight, but other scripture reading, I pray that you would bless thy word to our hearts and help us not to soon forget what we have heard tonight in the reading of the Word of God. And now as we stand with a copy of your Word in our hands, and I pray an open heart that we would receive the message that you have for us in this hour. God, I know in my heart that if that's going to happen, I'm going to need some help. So I pray for the filling of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that our hearts would be bowed before the God of heaven.
And we would receive with thanksgiving manna from your word. Food for our souls that would cause us in our innermost being, as the psalmist David said, all that is within us. God, I pray that we would bless your holy name. We love you and we thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. I want you to write down a few words in your Bible. If you write in your Bible, if you don't, try to write them in your mind. If you're like me and you don't write them down on something and you depend on writing them in your mind, it's not going to last long. So, you know, you may have it when you leave here, you may not. In verse number 16 through 19, I want you to write or keep this in your mind. Jesus gives us an illustration. Now, this illustration is very important. It really, the theme of this illustration never goes away throughout the remainder of this section of Scripture. He keeps referring back to this illustration. He keeps coming back to it. And so in verses 16 through 19 of chapter 11, we have an illustration. And it's an illustration that's very important that sets priorities. And it helps us to see that if our minds are not right in this matter of the person of Jesus Christ, we'll have it all wrong. And we'll view God's servants and even God's Son in a foul manner. Notice what he said in verse number 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. You see, when man's mind is not right, when our perspective of Christ is not right, we view God's servant this way. We think that the church and that God's servants, God's preachers, God's people are just crazy. They're just out there, you know. And Jesus said, this illustration that I'm giving you, he said, I'm telling you, it's important that you get this right. Because if you do not, your perspective on men, even someone that is like John the Baptist, someone that is clear to see, this is a man of God. He was a prophet, and Jesus said in earlier scripture here in this chapter, even more than a prophet. You'll miss it, he said, if your mind's not right on the person of Christ. But he said even more importantly, look if you would in verse number 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. You won't only miss it on the servants of Christ, you'll miss it on the Son of God. You'll miss it. You'll miss who he is and why he came. You'll miss his purpose. You'll miss it. And so he said, this illustration's important. Number two, write this down. In verse number 20, he goes from an illustration to an indictment. Now, you know what an indictment is. He passes an indictment. In verse number 20, notice what he says. Then began he, and this is a very unusual word that would be spoken of Christ, and yet it's used here. Then began he to upbraid. And we talked about this word in detail. To upbraid, to rebuke, to scathe, to scorn, the scriptures uses here. The cities wherein, look at this phrase, most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. See, Jesus was among them to bring them down. He was among them to let them see where their lot was. That they were not to be the wise and prudent that we spoke of, but they were to come down a notch. They were to come down. They were to humble themselves. They were to repent. And yet in his works, in his teaching, they refused to do that. And so there is an indictment here. And so he goes from an illustration, and then he gives an indictment. And then he does that in verses 20 all the way down through verse 24, and we talked about this. And then in verse number 25, 26, and 27, he gives what's called an invocation. He begins to enter into a direct line with God. See, up until this point, it's amazing how the Lord does this. He is speaking to man. If you'll note back in verse number 7, it says, as they departed, Jesus began to say, look at that now, unto the multitudes. He's speaking to the people. But just, listen, just like this, he stops speaking to man. And notice what he does.
There's no introductory. There's no warning that he's going to do this. There's no hint that he's going to switch from speaking to man and then immediately begin to speak to God. But he does this. In verse 24, he's still speaking to man. He's still pronouncing the woe. He's still upbraiding those cities. And then in a flash, in a moment, as only Jesus can, he enters into the presence of God. Just like that, without the aid or the help of another. See, I can't do that. You can't do that. We must come with assistance. In the Old Testament, they were told, don't you come into the tabernacle. Don't you come. Don't you approach the Holy of Holies. Bring your offering. Don't you come alone. You can't come alone. You must bring an offering. Why? You're a sinful man. You cannot approach a holy God. Here is, in the New Testament, we're told that we must come in Jesus' name. That's why when you hear a person pray that knows the scripture, that understands the Bible approach that God has given to himself, it must be through Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. See, I can't go to God in myself. I can't go to God alone. You can't go to God alone. No man can go before God in himself. He must go in the person and through the person of Jesus Christ. But notice what Jesus, our Lord, does here. In verse 24, the Bible says, at that time Jesus answered and said. It's unusual wording there. He answered. What's he answering? Jesus was in constant communion with God the Father. And though the scripture doesn't say, but there is an inference here that it's inferring that there was a communion between God the Father and God the Son during this time. And so he just immediately begins to speak. So put yourself in this setting. You're there and Jesus is talking to you and he's giving you instruction. He's giving you illustration. He's passing an indictment. And then out of nowhere, he begins an invocation. He just begins to pray to God the Father. He just begins to talk directly to him. And he said in verse number 25, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Amen. Even so, even though man has rejected it, even though man has turned away, you sent me, Lord. You sent me. The Bible says that now. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God sent his Son into this world. You sent me, Father. They don't appreciate me. They don't appreciate your message. They don't appreciate what you're doing. Fallen man has no use for your message. But God, I thank you for it. Amen. Father, I thank you for it. Is that what he's saying right here, brethren? It sure is. I thank you, Lord. Your way is the best way. Though man stumbles at it, he's offended at it, he can't wrap his mind around it, he must do something. You ever been talking to somebody and telling them about the need to be saved and telling them from the scripture what it means to be saved? And they say, I just can't believe that. There's got to be more. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've been talking to somebody. Well, there's just got to be more. You know, I just feel like I've got to do something. Well, Jesus has already done it, sir. Well, what do I need to do? Receive it. Oh, but there's just got to be more. You mean to tell me, they say, that all of my life of sin can be transferred to Jesus and that I have to do nothing? You must repent and receive the finished work of Christ. They just can't comprehend it. Man wants to have something to do with his redemption, with his relationship with God outside of what Jesus has done, and God will never accept it. Never accept that. So then we get down to verse number 27. I want to give you just a couple of thoughts here. I want you to think about this. Now, we're not going to be able to wrap our minds around this, all right? I'm just going to go ahead and give you a little prerequisite to what I'm going to say. You're not going to be able to comprehend. I hope that God would just somehow roll back the curtain and let our minds really get a glimpse of what Jesus is saying here. He said in verse number 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. You know, you can read that and think, oh, okay, all things are delivered unto me. There's a lot in that, brother. Do you know that because God entrusted to the care of the Son, that Jesus created everything? By the word of his power, the worlds were framed. Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Now, I want you to think about that. Jesus made it all, brethren. Made it all. But it's not only dealing with creation, it's dealing with redemption too. In Christ alone. You listen to me now. All things, he said. You know, it's very easy to read a statement like that and just keep going right to the next statement. But when you stop and meditate on that and really begin to try to take it in, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. You know, that encompasses so much that our little old finite minds cannot really wrap around it. You could think on that and you could meditate on that and begin to really see the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. All things, he said, are delivered unto me of my Father. That lets me know something. That lets me know that if I want something or I need something from God, I need to get it through Jesus. So don't you forget that now. If you don't get anything else tonight, I want you to get this. You are a needy person. Now, I do not know what your need is. I just know you're needy. How do you know that, preacher? Because you're flesh and blood. And as flesh and blood, we have needs. And I have no way of knowing really what your need is. See, there's needs that we maybe will allow to be shown, but then there's needs that we hide and we cover, and we will not allow to be shown. But I want to tell you something. God sees them. He sees them. And God is willing to work with you, and God is willing to meet those needs. If you come correctly, if you approach accurately, scripturally, God said, I'll meet that need. But he said, I want you to know something. The only way that need's going to be met is if you come to him and through him into whom I have delivered all things. Not going to get it outside of Jesus. Amen? So there's a lot in this statement. And I could spend a lot of time here, and we may in the weeks to come, but I have a thought or two on some of these other phrases here that I'd like to share with you in the time that we have. All right? So he said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Look at this next statement. It gets deeper. And no man knoweth the Son. He said, well, I know him. Well, that's not what Jesus said. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. See, you know some things about him, but you don't know everything about him. The Father does. Amen? Now, I'm going to read that statement again, and I want you to listen. A couple of weeks ago, I was reading after a man, and I read this statement, and I read some things he said about it, and I went back, and I read it again, and in my heart of hearts, I said, wow. Wow. That's something. You ever had a wow moment where you're sitting with your Bible open before you, and the Spirit of God gets real in your secret place, and it just begins to open up some things and make some things come alive from the Scripture? You know what I'm talking about? If you know what I'm talking about, shake your head yes, so I'll know you're awake. Amen. My eyes are kind of glossy. I got a little tear in my eye. I can't see clear. I mean, it's real. When God gets in your secret place with you, it gets real. Amen. You just say, wow. So here it is. He said, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. You say, well, I know him, preacher. You know something about it. But you don't know near, listen, you don't know near of what we would like to know about it. Because I am finding in my Christian experience, and I'm still growing, and I thank God for it, and I'm still learning. I don't ever want to quit learning. I don't want to ever quit growing. And I know when I get to heaven, I won't. But I don't want to stop growing and learning here on earth. I know in heaven we won't. But I don't want to stop here. How about you? I want to keep learning and growing about my Savior. about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the more I know Him, the more I trust Him, the more I love Him, the more I want to be in His presence. Amen? And so He said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Now I'm going to take just one section of Scripture. Now there's plenty I could take, but just for sake of time tonight and to give you just a little insight about what Jesus is saying here, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Now I could go to several passages of Scripture and do similarly to the same thing that I'm going to do right here, but this is what God laid on my heart for tonight, a thought. So here's the Lord Jesus, and He's speaking to a multitude of people, and then He quits talking to man and He starts talking to God, and then it's like He just includes man now back into His conversation. As He talks to God, he brings men back into the conversation. You see what I'm saying? So He's talking to man, and then He just stops talking to man and starts talking to God and says, I thank Thee, O Father. And then He just kind of brings men that are there, the multitude, back into this conversation and says, all things are delivered unto Me of My Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. In Colossians 1, it's like God said, remember that statement that the Lord Jesus made when He was among the multitudes? He said, I want to tell you a few things about My Son that you need to know, because no man knows Him like I know Him. You following me? No man knows the Son like the Father. And He said, so I want you to know some things about Him. Colossians 1, look if you would in verse number, and we could read a lot here, but let's look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, Colossians 1, you're there, verse 13, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So God said, I want you to know I have a Son. And He's dear to me. See, no man knows the Son but the Father. He said, I want you to know, I indeed have a Son. Years ago, Bryant Gumbel, now many of you may remember Bryant Gumbel, he used to do sports, and then he got into journalism. Well, fake journalism that goes along with fake news. But anyway, he got into journalism, and he interviewed Larry King. Now, I'm going to say everyone in here from 30 and older probably knows who Larry King is, all right? If you're younger than 30, you may not know, but Larry King. All right, so he interviewed Larry King, and here's what he said. He said, Mr. King, he said, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? Now, Larry King was a Jewish man, all right? And what do you think his question, just as serious as he could be? If you could ask God one question, what would it be? Without hesitation, Larry King said, do you have a son? That's what I would ask him. Do you have a son? Yes, he does have a son. And he's dear. Look at what verse number 13 said. God said, now, I want to tell you something about My Son, because nobody knows Him like I know Him. He's My Son. He's My dear Son. Look what it says. And He's got a kingdom. You see that? In verse number 13, He said, now, you need to know this about My Son. He has a kingdom. All right? And it's never going to end. And if you don't get in this kingdom, things are going to not be good for you. So you need to know, I have a Son, and He's dear to me, and He has a kingdom, and you can be a part of it. Look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Not only is He my dear Son, not only does He have a kingdom, but He has the power to forgive sin. I'm glad God the Father knows His Son, amen, well enough to share these things with me. See, if God chose not to share these things, I would not know them. But God in His Word knows the Son. And Jesus said that no man knows the Son but the Father. And God chose to share this information with man. Isn't it wonderful? See, I know now I can have my sins forgiven.
Because God's Son is good that way. Amen. Look at verse number 15. Oh, it gets better. Verse number 15. Who is the image? And I want you to underline this word, okay? I want you to underline it, highlight it, put parentheses around it, do something. All right, write it on your hand, right on the back of your hand, because we're going to come back to this word. Who is the image? What a word, all right? Now, in the book of Hebrews, the same author of which I believe to be in the book of Colossians, Paul, used this word in Hebrews 1:3, the express image. Hebrews 1:3, the express image of God, Jesus is, all right? Now, here he said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Now, that speaks of reverence. That speaks of position there, okay? I don't have time to go into every bit of this, so I want you to understand what's being said here, all right? God said, I'm sharing some things that I know about my Son that you don't know, but I'm going to share them with you. I want you to know these things about my Son. Say, I know the Son. You don't know Him. You've heard His name. You've heard a little bit about Him. God said, I want you to know Him the way that He deserves to be known. Because the more you know Him, the more you love Him. Amen. Look at verse number 16. For by Him were all things created. Talking about God's Son. The Father said, now, Jesus said, no man knows the Son but the Father. And the Father said, I want you to know this about my Son. Everything that you go outside and look around, He made it all. Amen. He said, I want you to know this about my Son. The one that I'm sending, the one that we're celebrating, my Son, I want you to know this. He didn't just come and lay in a manger and folks come and bring Him gifts. He grew up and He lived an obscure life and He taught and astounded the lawyers and the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple. And He died on the cross and he rose from the grave. Yes, He did that, but there's so much more you need to know about Him. And He said, I want to share it with you. He said, everything you see in creation, my Son made that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He said this, all things were by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him, now watch this, and for Him. So I thought God made this great big beautiful earth for me. Yeah. You need to get to know the Son better. Because nobody knows Him like the Father. And the Father said, no, I made all that for Him. He made it, but I said, it's yours. Take it. You have dominion. Amen? Amen. Look at verse number 17. Not only did He create all things, this is a wonderful scripture. Brother Reuben, is Brother Reuben here tonight? Brother Reuben commented on this verse, and I said, hey, man. Well, I tell you, this verse right here is powerful. Do you know what this verse is saying? Look at verse number 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things, look at that word, consist. It means He's the glue that holds it all together. Amen. What about that? Amen. What about that? I'm talking about planets orbiting around the sun. Can I tell you, Jesus is holding it all together. Yeah. Amen. Amen. A myriad of burning planets that we call stars up in the sky, up in the heavens. Jesus put it all there, and He's just keeping it all together. And then we say, well, I just don't know. Is God going to be able to work my problem out? Is God going to be able to take care of me? Well, I don't know. Have you looked up lately? He's taking care of all that. Well, I tell you, we really need to, listen, we really need to understand something. We don't know the Son the way we think we know the Son. But the Father does. And He says, I want to tell you about Him. That's why it's important to read your Bible. Because God wants to tell you about this Son that He knows about. Oh, this could go on and on. Let me get on down here. He said, not only that, He said He's got a church. And He wants to make you a part of it. He said, well, every pastor wants to make me a part of their church. Oh, we're not talking about some man wanting to make you a part. We're talking about the head of the church wanting you to be a part of the church. I'm not talking about a church. I'm talking about the church. Amen. Look what He said in verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. What a word. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Let me get to these last two verses. and then I'm going to give one more thought and I'll be through. It's the flip side of this. Now watch this. This is what God is saying. Jesus, remember what he said now. He said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And so if I want to know more about Jesus, I need to get with God. Right? And I need to know about Jesus. I mean, after all, isn't this what this is all about? Isn't this what the poinsettias and the trees and the lights and the festivities and the songs and the services and all that we do? This is about Jesus, brethren. This is about Jesus. And we need to get to know him more. And I'm not going to know him more if I don't get with God, because God knows the Son. The Father knows the Son. And he wants me to know him in a greater light than that I know him. And so I just want to encourage you now. It's in this book right here. This book is like a biography of Jesus. And God says, I want to share some things about my Son with you so you can know him the way I know him. Because no man knows the Son but the Father. And he said, but I'll share some information with you. And he's sharing it right here. Look at what he said. This is kind of the capstone of it. All right? So you say, well, you know, he made the creation. He's the image of the invisible God. He's all these things. And that's wonderful, preacher. But now, what's in it for me? You say, well, I would never ask that. Well, yeah, you would. You're human. Every human asks that. Well, let's see. Not only do we get to enjoy all this glory, this glorious creation, we get to enjoy it all. Notice what it says in verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Oh my. Now we're getting to see how we're going to be beneficiaries. Having made peace. Peace? Yeah, we're in enmity with God. Man's at enmity with God. Right? We're at enmity with God. Our sins have separated us from God. We can't get to God without in our own. We're far removed from God. We're far off. We can't come nigh to God except somebody make peace for us. And God said, I want you to know that my Son did it for you. My Son has made peace through the blood of his cross, and by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He said, I want you to know that about my Son, that he loves you. Well, he doesn't even know me. He knows more about you than you know about you. He knows all about you, and he loves you, and he wants to reconcile you to God the Father. All right, so let's go back to Matthew now. And when we read that verse of Scripture, now listen, there's probably 5 dozen places in the Scriptures, as we go back to Matthew chapter number 11, that we could turn to and read text, as I've read to you, and see where God is telling us about his Son. Let me tell you more about my Son. Why? Because in chapter number 11 of the book of Matthew, Jesus said, no man, in verse number 27, knoweth the Son but the Father. And so you want to know about me? You get with God. He'll tell you about me. He knows me. Right? Then look at this statement. Neither, now there's much more there. All right? That's just a thought I have. There's much more there. And you can develop it. I'm telling you, it's there. Look at this. It said in verse number 27, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Now what about that? So Jesus said, you know, you can't know me, but God will tell you about me. And he said, you can't know God, but I'll tell you about him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 14, he said, you can't even come to him except by me. You can't even go to God except by me. Right, brethren? He said, you can't go to him. You can't even approach him except by me. Now, I want to give you about 3 words here. Write these down, okay? Remember that word image? I encourage you to go home and do this. I think I may have done this one time before. The word image, when you trace it to its root, now you can do this, okay? Just trace it to its root, and you'll find the word. It's a very familiar word, and a lot of our young people know far more about this word than I know about it. The word is icon, okay?
So you pull up your desktop or your laptop or your phone, and you have all these icons. And then when you click on that icon, you know what it does? It opens up everything in there that that icon represents or has to offer. So that's what that means. Jesus is the icon. He's the image. Everything you need to know about God, Jesus can show you. Amen? But only Him now. Only Him. You say, well, I'm going to get with some liberal professor. You'll never know anything about God that way. I'm going to get with some radical organization or even some church or some preacher. Well, listen, that's not the way to do it. You want to know about God. You want to know about Jesus. You get with God. You want to know about God, you get with Jesus. And here Jesus said in verse number 27, He said, no man, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And the Son is the image. Remember that in Colossians 1:15? The image of the invisible God. He's the icon. So, well, I want to know some things about this God. I want to know some things about this God. Now, why would you want to know some things about this God? Because it is just in the minds and hearts of men to want to know. How do I know this? Well, the Bible teaches it in many areas. Write this down. Acts 17. Remember when Paul was out on his missionary journey and he went through Mars Hill? Remember? And they had these little booths where they were worshiping different kinds of gods. I will never forget one time a missionary talked about going to Japan, and he said that he was telling these people about Jesus, and they were saying, yeah. You know, welcome. He said, man, these people are, I never thought they would be so receptive to Jesus and the Word. And he said, they just received it like it was something. He said, but then as he began to look into it, they were what's called polytheistic. Now, if you know anything about the word poly, it means many. And so we're mono, okay? We're one God. Amen. But people of this persuasion, of this mindset, they were polytheistic. They had many gods. And so what they would do is they would just take the person Jesus, they would take a copy of the book of John or Romans in their language, and they would just put it on a shelf with all their other gods. Now I want to tell you something. Jesus will never be received that way. It's not Jesus and, it's Jesus or. Amen. Now, I want you to hear this now. It's not Jesus and. I realize we live in a world of tolerance and coexist, but Jesus will never, ever accept that. It's not Jesus and Buddha, Jesus and Confucius, Jesus and Muhammad. It's Jesus or. That's the way it is, brethren. One way. One way. And so he said, I am the icon. You click on to me. Jesus said, I am the image. God said, He's the image of me. You want to know about me? Click on to Jesus. And everything about God will open up to you. Amen. Now, take your Bible just for a moment and turn to John 1. In John chapter 1, and I, again, I'm just giving you some thoughts. In John chapter 1, there's two words that are really interesting. Now, I like to study words. You say, it's boring to me. You haven't ever done it. No one can tell me they've ever studied words that says it's boring. You haven't done it. You might have attempted it. But when you begin to study words, I'm telling you right now, God will begin to open up things that will take you. It just keeps opening and opening and opening. So in John chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, words are thoughts. They're ideas. They're concepts. And so when the Bible says that Jesus is the Word, it's like He is communicating God to me. See, I can't understand God. You say, well, I understand God. No, you don't. Surely you don't believe that. Well, preacher, I understand God. No, you don't. No, you don't. So I need someone to help me understand God. So God said, I'm going to give you the Word. He's my communicator. Now, I used this illustration Wednesday night, and I want to use it quickly here before I bring this to a close. Listen very carefully to this. If you've ever been in this situation, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I've never been in a foreign country where everybody around me was speaking a different language. I do not speak but one language, and I don't speak it well, and I don't. I mean, I'm not saying that to be funny. I just don't. I don't speak 2, 3, 4, 5 languages. What brought this up is we were talking in our home about the First Lady, Melania Trump. And someone, I think it was either my wife or my mother-in-law, said, well, you know, she speaks 5 languages. And I said, that's impressive. And it is impressive. But I don't like her. Well, listen, that's beside the point. It's impressive that she knows 5 languages. It doesn't mean nothing to me. How many of you speak? Hey, man. 5 languages. All right? So, God said, I speak a language that you can't understand. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to speak in your language, so I'm going to send you my word. And he sent Jesus. Jesus speaks God's language to me. I want you to understand that. Without Jesus, you'll never understand God. Please understand what I'm telling you tonight. This is important. That's why it's so important that we preach Christ, brethren. It's so important that we stay on target here. That we never get off of base. That we never move. Paul said, listen, I've just made up my mind. I'm going to preach Christ and Him crucified. Amen? That's going to be my message. Till God pulls me out of here. So all these people over in Athens, when Paul went on his missionary journey, had all these things. But they had one that really got Paul's attention. You know what the inscription was? The unknown God. Paul said, they're seeking Him. But they don't know how to get to Him. Because only the Son. Got to click on Jesus now if you're going to get to God. You hear me? The icon. You got to get it in your language. Got to get the Word. In the beginning was the Word. God said, I'm going to communicate heaven to you, but I'm going to do it through my Son. And then look at verse 18. What a word this is. Look at verse 18. I'm not going to read all this. You ought to read this sometime. When you start reading this, you'll see exactly what God's saying here. God's saying, hey, I want to communicate with you. I want to introduce you to myself, but I'm going to do it through my Son. That's the only way you're going to get introduced to me. It's through my Son. You say, well, not God. Well, I'll show you something and then we'll close. All right, look at this. Look at verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. Oh, I saw God. No, you didn't. Oh, I saw God. He sit on the foot of my bed. Really? Well, I don't know. Verse 18 says He didn't. I'm just telling you, brethren. You stay away from that stuff. You stay away from that stuff. This, you know, super psycho, you know, revved up visions and feelings. Stay away from that stuff. Amen. Stick to this right here. Amen. This right here, the book. Yeah. It'll get you where you need to be when you're pursuing God. Amen. And every man ought to be pursuing God. You hear me tonight, young folks? Listen to me. You need to get on a quest pursuing God. You need to get with Jesus and find out everything you can about your Creator. It'll make your life worth the living. So many young people, you look in their faces, it's sad. It's sad. It breaks my heart to see so many young people. No hope, no joy, no purpose. You know why? Because they're not pursuing God. They're not. They don't know. Listen, they don't have the icon, Jesus, and they're not getting with Jesus so they can know their Creator. He's unknown to them still. And the Bible says here in verse number 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. You want to know God the Father? You've got to go through the Son. I want you to underline that word declared there. Go home and look it up. You know what it means? It means exegesis. You say, what? What? That's a term for interpretation. To give understanding. When I was in school and I was studying about hermeneutics and homiletics and studying the Bible, that word kept coming up and I thought, what in the world is an exegesis? Hey man, I mean, I'm a country boy. I don't know what no exegesis is. Is that something you have done to you? Is that like an exorcism? Hey man. An exegesis. We're going to do an exegesis. Amen. We're going to cast out devils. No, that's not an exorcism. It's an exegesis, which means that you expound, you interpret, you give understanding. It's kind of a word that's akin to exposition. And so here's what he said. Look at it. In verse number 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath given understanding. He has given an extra Jesus. He hath declared him so that you can understand. All right? So that our little old finite minds can get a glimpse and a grasp of who this great God is. Isn't God wonderful? To do this for you and to do this for me. There was nothing in God that compelled him to do it by anything other than grace. He loves us, brethren. We now go back to chapter 11. And say this. All things are delivered to me and my Father. There is a lot in that. There's a lot. I pray to God after tonight that when I read this, when you read this, that we won't just read by it, that we'll begin to ponder and to think and say, wow. Wow. Then he said this. He said, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. No man. God knows a lot about him. And he's revealed what he wants us to know about him in this book right here. What do you know about him? What do you know about Jesus? God said there's a lot more to learn about him. And the more you know him, the more you'll love him. Then he said this, look at it. Then he said, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. You want to know something about the person who made you? About God? But not just about him. Notice the wording here. No man knoweth. Neither knoweth any man God save the Son. Is that what it says? It's not what it says. What's it say, church? Say it loudly. The Father. The Father. I could preach another 30 minutes on that, but I'm not. See, God just doesn't want you to know him as God. You listen to me. And Jesus just doesn't want you to know the Creator as God. He wants you to know his Father. And he wants it to be your Father. All right? So he said, I want you to know him in a relationship, not just some distant God out there that's made everything. I want you to know him in a relationship. And the only way you can do that is through me, Jesus said. Isn't that what he said? Because he closed it out by saying this, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That's just wonderful stuff. That makes me just want to fall on my knees and say, glory to God. I am so thankful that God loves me this way. God's plan is the most wonderful thing ever. Ever. And I don't want to take it for granted one moment of one day in my life. And yet because of my old fallen nature, because of my old depraved nature, I'll go through time and days and I won't even give a thought to the goodness of God and revealing these things and all that he's doing and has done and is yet to do because his thoughts are on me. So if you want to know more about God, Jesus, you need to remember he's the image, he's the icon, he's the exegesis, all right? He's the understanding, he's the word. He will communicate God to you so that you can know him as your Father in a relationship. You want to know more about the Son? Right here. Read it. God will tell you a lot about his Son right here. Right here. All right? I want you to bow your head with me. Let's all stand.